Hello and welcome to South Asia Chat, a podcast brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. I am Shavinia Vijayakumar, a research analyst at ISAS, and I will be your host for today's episode. The inaugural ASEAN-India Maritime Exercise took place at Changi Naval Base in Singapore from the 2nd to the 8th of May 2023. This exercise holds immense importance for the region and signifies a turning point in the relationship between India and ASEAN as a whole. While India has previously engaged in bilateral exercises with individual ASEAN member states and even conducted a trilateral exercise with Singapore and Thailand, this is the first joint exercise between India and ASEAN as a collective entity. To understand the implications of the ASEAN-India Maritime Exercise and to delve into the evolving landscape of this vital regional partnership, we are honoured to have with us Dr. Rajeshwari Pillai Rajagopalan. Dr. Raji is the Director of the Centre for Security, Strategy and Technology at the Observer Research Foundation, New Delhi. She was a technical advisor to the United Nations Group of Governmental Experts on the Prevention of Arms Race in Outer Space. Dr. Raji was also the Assistant Director at the National Security Council Secretariat, Government of India. Again, we are so happy to have you. Welcome, Dr. Raji.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on this podcast. Thank you.
The ASEAN-India Maritime Exercise marks a significant milestone in evolving security engagement between India and Southeast Asia. So to gain insights into the implications of this exercise, my first question is, how does the exercise contribute to enhancing maritime cooperation and security in the region?
Thank you for that terrific question. I think the ASEAN-India Maritime Exercise, of course, is the first edition of the Maritime Exercise between India and the ASEAN as a regional entity, like you said. India has participated in individual maritime exercises with a number of Southeast Asian countries. But with the ASEAN grouping as such, as a bloc, this is new. And I would think there are two goals for this, one at a political and strategic level, and two, the tactical and operational aspect of the exercise. And I think both are significant. At the political level, the AIM 2023 or the ASEAN-India Maritime Exercise 2023 was meant to send a clear message to China, a strong political signal to China that India and Southeast Asian countries are strategic partners that have similar strategic interests. Both have been subject to China's aggressive behavior, even in the middle of the pandemic, whether it is in Indonesia's exclusive economic zone in the Natuna Islands or against Malaysia, Philippines, Vietnam. And of course, India and China have a live conflict on the border since 2020. So the political significance of this exercise could not be ignored. In fact, the Indian Navy Chief, Admiral Hari Kumar, was in Singapore to kick off the maritime exercise. India finally feels the need to up the game, both the diplomatic game, but also the defense game, in a sense, military and security game in this regard. Both sides, India for certain, have resisted engaging in such maritime drills with ASEAN as a bloc because it was felt that it could provoke negative reactions from China. But given that the relations between China and its neighbors, including India, are on a downward spiral, India now feels that it needed to play a much more active role in Southeast Asia. At the operational and tactical level, the Indian and ASEAN navies want to be able to work together in a seamless fashion in the maritime domain. While humanitarian assistance and disaster response, the HADR, is generally publicized as a goal for all the navies, the kind of familiarization process, the socialization that happens through these kind of maritime drills cannot be emphasized enough. Maritime drills such as the first edition of the current one that happened opens up enormous possibilities in terms of their ability to cooperate, be it in the middle of a natural disaster or in dealing with security-related contingency issues. So the overall effect of being familiar with each other, each other's lingo, operational practices and tactics, I think they all go to build up their ability to work in a seamless fashion. And I think this was the goal that was put out by both the Indian Navy and also the Singapore Navy, which was kind of co-hosting the particular maritime exercise.
So building ties with maritime nations has been a long-standing strategy for India's Navy, In the context of the ASEAN-India maritime exercise, what are the geopolitical implications of India collaborating with ASEAN as a group in this exercise, and how does it shape India's strategic presence in the Indo-Pacific region?
Yeah, like you said, of the three Indian armed forces, the Army, Navy and the Air Force, the Indian Navy has been the most outgoing one. The Navy has been strengthening maritime security partnership with as many Indo-Pacific partners for about two decades now. And ASEAN has remained an important strategic partner, and India has for decades sought closer ties with the Southeast Asian region. ASEAN is also key to India's Indo-Pacific vision and strategy, with leaders reiterating the ASEAN centrality in almost all of their articulations. So the AIM 2023 is a reflection of the Indian desire to strengthen the maritime element of that cooperation. But it cannot be lost that India is also doing a bit of catch-up, because the ASEAN as a bloc has already been engaged in such military cooperation with China, US and Russia. From 2018, ASEAN has been doing these military drills, first with China in 2018, next with the US in 2019 and Russia in 2021. So India is only late by 5 years, if I can put it that way. Because I think, like I said, for a long time, both sides have remained hesitant. India did not want such engagements to upset the dynamics with China. And for ASEAN too, I think similar concerns played out. But ASEAN couched it as saying it doesn't want to exercise with any regional power, extra-regional powers and so on and so forth. But I think the intent was somewhat same as like the case of India, not wanting to upset its relationship with China. But ASEAN went one step further when it conducted maritime exercise with China in order to possibly convey a message that we can be your partner, that we are not an adversary. So both ASEAN and India have tried to engage in such balancing act from time to time, if you look back in the last 10 to 15 years. So it is significant, and Indian Navy is going to be stepping up its act now that the India-China relations are in a pretty bad shape. I don't think you can go further down downward a spiral from where we are currently. So I think the certain amount of hesitancies that prevailed in India, on especially on Indian side, I think that is kind of gone now. So India will be much more proactive, especially the Indian Navy will be more proactive in wanting to cultivate a stronger bilateral as a group, India and ASEAN, defense cooperation, including maritime military exercise and so on and so forth.
So as you highlighted earlier, like AIM highlights the importance of interoperability and joint operations between Indian and ASEAN navies. How does the exercise demonstrate the ability of Indian and ASEAN navies to operate as an integrated force? What role does interoperability play in promoting peace, stability and security in the region?
So, as I mentioned earlier, the AIM 2023 was aimed at creating better opportunities in maritime cooperation. And to put it in the Indian Navy Chief Admiral's words, to refine procedures, learn best practices, and enhance interoperability with the ASEAN navies. So the ability to undertake effective joint operations for any contingency comes from continuous efforts at familiarizing with each other's skill sets, skills, their ability to develop a common operating picture, getting familiar with each other's command and control structures, because you don't want to encounter those kind of issues in a real emergency. But the intensity of interaction is also important, and I'm not entirely clear how in-depth the AIM 2023 exercise are in a sense. But I do not want to worry too much, because this was the first edition, the inaugural edition that we have got done. Maybe we haven't reached the kind of intensity that we hope to achieve. But I think that will be achieved. The kind of sophistication, the kind of complexity of the exercise, all of that can happen in the coming years. But engaging in joint exercises are also about posturing, sending a signal and deterring one's opponents. So here the message is for China to convey that India and ASEAN are like-minded partners with possible shared concerns around China, its use of force in resolving political and territorial issues, its hegemonic ambitions for the region and beyond. So India and ASEAN also possibly hope that the political message of their strategic cooperation will be good enough a deterrent in moderating China's behavior. So this is what will contribute to the peace, stability and security in the region. Like I said, The exercise was the first iteration, and they are not there in terms of their ability to operate, act as an integrated force asset. But I think that's a goal. The goal is to reach there. That's a goal that we have to go and we have to travel in a way. Irrespective of the complexity of the exercise and whether we emerged as an integrated force, what to me is more significant is that both ASEAN and India decided to conduct a maritime exercise. The strategic context for both are clear. China is clearly the kind of the strategic context, and Beijing clearly got the message. The exercise was held in the Vietnamese exclusive economic zone and was followed by Chinese maritime militia boats, which moved towards them, according to an Indian source who spoke to Reuters, who broke the story. The Navy ships and the militia boats crossed each other without any face-off. And the Indian officials actually noted that Indian authorities were tracking the movements of at least five militia boats. A Chinese research vessel was also following these boats towards the same area. So in a sense, the political and strategic message of this particular exercise has already been achieved. That was China. China got the message. Clearly, the maritime militia and the Chinese research vessel following the naval ships were a clear indication that China got the message. But that's where we are going to go from, in a sense.
So India's growing maritime footprint in the Indo-Pacific has gained attention, as you've mentioned, especially in the context of this exercise. What economic opportunities arise from India's enhanced maritime engagement in the Indo-Pacific through exercises like this one? How can this contribute to the economic development of India and Southeast Asian nations?
Here I'm somewhat skeptical because I'm not entirely clear that there are huge economic opportunities, at least direct economic opportunities from these exercises. It is more about, but there are indirect. So the indirect benefit is that because these exercises you engage in these maritime exercises to protect India's existing values such as trade routes, economic relationships, and so on and so forth. India-ASEAN trade economic links have grown. Both sides want to keep growing that trade and economic linkages, but that's not possible unless these trade routes and economic linkages are protected. So in a sense, it's a limited indirect economic angle that I see from the maritime exercise that was conducted. But clearly the protection of sea lanes of communication, because that is essential for the transport of goods and the kind of services that we engage in, and so on and so forth. So from that perspective, there is an indirect economic benefit to this, but otherwise it is more of a strategic engagement, strategic and political messaging, signaling to your possible adversaries in the region, and so on and so forth. So that's where I primarily look at the AIM 2023, the goal was, in a sense.
Trust and partnership are crucial factors in fostering deeper relations between India and ASEAN. My next question focuses on the role of trust building in the context of AIM. How does trust play a significant role in paving the path for a partnership between India and ASEAN in the maritime domain? And what steps can be taken to strengthen this trust and cooperation between the two?
That's a terrific question, because military exercises, at the end of the day, are a significant demonstration of the already deep strategic ties between India and ASEAN. And I would say it's one of the highest demonstrations of the trust between each other, because engaging in military maneuvers involves sharing one's strategic intent, best practices, one's tactics, in say, for instance, in anti-submarine warfare, enhancing maritime communications, and so on. In fact, the sea phase of the ASEAN-India maritime exercise between the two sides included helicopter cross-deck landings, communication, and maneuvering exercises. The AIM 2023 also engaged in simulation exercises, simulating various scenarios, tracking the movement of simulated vessels of interest, supplemented with information from ASEAN international allies and officers attached to the Singapore Navy's Information Fusion Center. And I would say these are essential components, important for establishing rapid maritime security collaboration, because in case of an accident, in case of any inadvertent or accidents at sea, these are the kind of maneuvers that need to be taken. And so simulating these scenarios and playing out between these navies were very important. And that clearly shows the high level of trust and confidence in each other. So the AIM also conducted, sort of worked on the code for unplanned encounters at seas, Qs, that's called Qs, which is, again, a maritime confidence building measure that is intended to build trust and confidence, thereby bringing down the possibilities of inadvertent incidents in the maritime domain. So I think India, ASEAN are at a fairly solid, good space in terms of the trust and confidence in each other. Otherwise, engaging in military maneuvers, complex military maneuvers, are not possible because, like I said, military exercises demonstrate sharing of the, you know, one's closest, one's most important political intent, strategic intent, and sharing of tactics and so on and so forth. So those clearly demonstrate to me a high level of trust and confidence between ASEAN and India.
Over the years, ASEAN and India relations have weaknessed rhetoric and commitments. However, actions are equally important to solidify the partnership. My final question explores the need to match rhetoric with actions. In light of AIM, what concrete actions can India and ASEAN take to deepen their defense and security cooperation further? How can these actions contribute to strengthening regional stability and resilience?
India is still not... India is still playing not its full potential as far as its relationships with the ASEAN countries are concerned, or ASEAN as a bloc is concerned, or what is expected of India from the region. The region expects a lot more from India, but India has not really played to its full potential. But it's not for lack of intent or goals on the part of India, but there are serious capacity issues that India has to deal with in order to play a more concrete role in the region. Scaling has been a serious issue, for instance, for India, which even the Indian minister, foreign minister, Dr. Jaishankar, has talked about multiple times, saying that. But at the same time, I'm not entirely sure it's going to be resolved on an immediate time frame, because unless the Indian economy grows at 8 to 9% for a decade or so on a continuous basis, India will not have the resources to deliver. So that's the capacity deficit is one set of issue. A second issue as to why India's lack of capacity stands out in particular is because India will always be compared and contrasted with China in terms of taking on projects, initiatives, and how China has been able to deliver, whereas India has had serious difficulties in its ability to deliver, whether it is take the case of the India-Thailand-Myanmar trilateral highway. It's been going on for a really, really long time, and India has not been able to complete that particular project. So India is always, in a sense, compared with how China has been able to take on projects, finish them even before the set timeline and so on and so forth. So on all of these issues, China is miles and miles ahead of India. So that's, again, part of the problem, how countries perceive India's ability to deliver, in a sense. But given the constant military and diplomatic aggression from China against both ASEAN and India, I think the two sides will likely expand and deepen their defense cooperation as a way of deterring or moderating China's aggression across the Indo-Pacific maritime spaces. We have done a lot in the security front in terms of training the armed forces of the many of the Southeast Asian countries and so on and so forth. But at the same time, I think we will be stepping up further given the Chinese aggression that we have seen across the Indo-Pacific maritime spaces. India is also mindful of enhancing its ACTI's engagements in the ASEAN region, and AIM 2023 is therefore, I'd see it as a win-win for both India and ASEAN. And I think this is also where it is important for India to partner with other capable, like-minded strategic partners in order to deliver more effectively to the public good of the Indo-Pacific region, in order to deliver on the maritime capabilities, capacities for the region, in order to deliver on the peace, stability, and security of the Indo-Pacific maritime spaces. So countries like Japan, for instance, Japan and India can partner. Both enjoy a very trusted, confident partnership in each other. The two can work together in third countries and other regions and so on and so forth. So I think that is another way of dealing with India's lack of capacity in a sense. And so I think those are the kind of things that we need to see. So that can be so in terms of strengthening capability mix of the many of the maritime nations in the Indus, in the Southeast Asian region, what India and Japan can do together. Capability, capacities, maritime exercises together, or coastal guard, coast guard forces coming together for joint exercise and so on and so forth. So there's a entire menu of options that can be explored if India can partner with other like-minded countries, particularly Japan. I think that would be a sort of a very an effective way of dealing with the lack of capacity on the Indian part, so that India is able to deliver on something more concrete to the region that expects a lot more from Delhi.
Thank you so much, Dr. Raji. I believe our listeners will be extremely enriched by our conversation. You have clearly laid out the geopolitical implications of AIM and provided a very nuanced perspective of where India stands. Thank you for being here with us again.
Of course, absolutely. Thank you so much.
You are listening to South Asia Chat. To learn more about our work, please visit us at isas.nus.edu.sg. You can also get updates from our social media. We are on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram.